Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What I want to talk to you about this morning is what's up on that screen, that slide. And that slide, I'm going to read it to you because it's kind of hard to see print. I mean, I can hardly see it up here, and I'm pretty close to it. So, take a close look at the screen. It says, extra strength, forgive it all. Easy to swallow. In the lower right-hand corner, it reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And down in the lower left-hand corner down there, which I know you can't see because I can hardly see it, side effects include freedom from guilt, reduced tension, increased joy, spontaneous laughter, love for your fellow human, eternal life, and most importantly, an urge to tell others the wonderful news. Now, I'm honored to be with you here this morning to share some thoughts with you on the scripture found in Matthew 6, verse 12. It's words from the Lord's Prayer that we're all too familiar with, those being, forgive us our debts as we forgive those our debtors. Or said another way, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or still in another way, forgive us our sins just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings and the unconditional love that you so abundantly provide each of us every day. Let the time that we spend together this morning strengthen our understanding and appreciation for your gospel and the power of your word in a way that we may care, treat, and honor one another. These petitions, Lord, both spoken and unspoken, we lift them to you in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I think we can all agree that, you know, this past year and all the COVID restrictions and all the mandates that were put on us has really turned our lives upside down. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's lasted more than a year. And every aspect of our life has been infringed upon. You know, our patience and our willingness to do just as they say has kind of taken its toll on most of us, if not all of us. So, this morning I want to focus on the words of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Ask yourself, how many times have you prayed that prayer? How often have we failed to forgive others? How often have we failed to forgive? Only you have that answer. If we forgive someone because they hurt us in some fashion, or do we continue to forgive them over and over and over time and time again as they continue to do the same sin over and over and over? Should we kind of keep in score as to the number of times that we offer that person forgiveness?
Why?
Certainly seems fair and reasonable when you think about it. But you know, God says, absolutely not. Our attorney as a Christian demands that we forgive, and we forgive, and we forgive. And forgiveness demands that you stop keeping score. So it's a process that we have to be repeated over and over and time again. You see, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it accomplishes a number of things. It draws us into His presence. When you pull up your hands and pray the Lord's Prayer, you go into His presence in doing that. It confirms our wills to His will. It molds our heart to His heart. And it recreates us in God's image. You know, when it comes down to it, there are very two good reasons to forgive. And it has nothing to do with the other person. The first is, God commands us. He commands us to forgive. And the other one is, forgiveness is good for the soul. You know, it's a free gift from God that we both receive and give. When we ask for forgiveness, we're asking God to perform a miracle in our life. A miracle whereas you know, you want God to treat our sins like they never existed, and then we're asking God to absolve us from all punishment for our sins. That's what we're asking for. And that's exactly what God does, because God's Son's death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave on Easter morning, he paid the penalty for sins of all mankind, past, present, and future, you and me, and everybody that lives on this sin-cursed earth. The message is quite clear. Confess your sins openly and honestly and receive absolution. Share the gift of forgiveness with others who sin against you, and receive the sacrament of Holy Communion as a foretaste of the feast to come when we celebrate the marriage of the feast of the Lamb in his heavenly kingdom, which has no end. The one gospel message I want to share with you this morning and base this sermon on is Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35, which is the parable of the unmerciful servant. You've probably heard this many times before, some of you maybe for the first time, but it sends a real clear message about what we're supposed to do in our lives relative to forgiveness. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle them, a man who owed 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay them, he asked for order that he and his wife and his children and all that he had, he sold until they could repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him and said, Master, be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him walk. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. The servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. He went off. He had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they told their master everything that had happened. The master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancel all your debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? In anger, the master turned him over to the jailers and tortured until he paid back all of the earth. This is exactly how our Heavenly Father will treat each of us unless we forgive your brother from your heart. In this parable, a man is given back the life, his life, and then he goes right back out and he takes it from someone else. We probably feel that same outrage that the master had toward the unforgiving servants. We say to ourselves, good, he got what he deserved. It's kind of our retribution equal justice kind of way of thinking. Kind of what we do. But you know, you and me were kind of like that unforgiving servant. We come before God with all our sins piled up a mountain high. A mountain so high that you can't get over it, so wide you can't get around it, and so deep that you can't get underneath it. You know, it's like we owe about $50 million that we couldn't pay back in a lifetime, or for that fact, a thousand lifetimes. So what is Jesus saying to us in this parable about the unmerciful servant? Our Savior is telling us that we have to forgive other people in the same manner that God forgave us. Remember the words of Jesus when he was dying on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You see, Jesus calls us to a higher level of response when considering those who have hurt us. The God of love for us in our weakness and sin, God forgives us, God heals us, God strengthens us, and we forgive people. The sign of the cross invites a daily ministry of reconciliation. Forgive, forgive, forgive. As hard as that is, and it takes courage to forgive. tries really hard to be a devoted servant, and then he gets all hung up. I think that there must be a reasonable limit to this whole forgiveness thing. Peter asked, how many times should I forgive a member of the church who sins against me? Tell me, Jesus, I don't want to forgive. How many times? The response that Jesus gave, 77, or 7 times 70, is probably the highest number imaginable to the people in Jesus' time. The number was used to represent the infinite number of times that we must forgive. So the message was quite clear. There is no maximum number of times. Therefore, there's no basis for remembering or keeping score on the number of times a person sins against you before you no longer forgive them. You know, maybe we're fighting forgiveness because we've been forgiven of a crime. You know, our lives damaged by a drunk driver or preparing memories as a result. If you're in the military or serving in combat, things happen, ugly things happen, bad things happen, but they happen. What scars were carried by the survivors of the Holocaust? Or those people that who survived being a prisoner of war? What about those families who still suffer because their friendly, their relatives or friends were killed as a result of the actions of non-weapon attack? And all of the subsequent deaths and injuries that our military suffered fighting that war for the past 20 years. You know, we express a wide range of emotions when it comes to forgiveness. Some of those are frustration, stubbornness, denial, anger, resentment, bitterness, and possibly even hatred. And maybe we've heard people say, or maybe we've said ourselves, comments like, you know, they lied about me over and over, and I don't have to take this. They intended to destroy my reputation and my career. You can't imagine the hell I could. If you only knew what he had done to my family, you would be just as angry. They deserved to suffer. They made me suffer. My daughter was beaten and raped. How do I forgive that? I cannot forgive that person for molesting my child. How is the word forgiveness best defined? You know, it's one of the most difficult concepts to grasp, and it probably explains why it's the most difficult and greatest gift to give. The word forgive is a grace word in the English and in the Greek, and its meaning is to give or to grant. It means to remit a debt, to give up resentment, to claim for requital, or pardon an offense. But forgiveness is more than just saying the words and receiving that warm, fuzzy feeling inside all over. It comes from the heart and requires humility, and it requires courage of us to forgive. We forgive because we have been forgiven. Like the servant in that parable story you just read, we have been forgiven by God for a debt that we can never repay on our own. God's for us is not conditional. All sinners should be challenged to repent, you know, beginning with us sitting here today. God commands us to forgive one another. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing everyday process and will not end until all sin goes away. What about the means of grace? Now, the day goes by when we're not tempted to sin. And more often than not, we fall prey to Satan and his evil ways. As hard as we try, we fail. And we violate God's commandments in some form or some fashion. After all, isn't that why we're here in church on Sunday morning? And at every opportunity to share God's word and to ask for strength to renew us and to get us back on track. You know, fortunately, we have the sacrament of holy baptism, the sacrament of holy communion, prayer, opportunities to study scripture by way of Bible studies, and making confession and receiving absolution. You know, the means of grace are the connection that each of us so desperately needs in order to keep our faith strong and working in our lives, you know, on a regular basis. It's a strength that gives us courage to forgive and make no mistake about it. forgiveness takes courage. The Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness of the sins of others who have trespassed. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said it very plainly in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive them when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their sin, your Father will not forgive you. In this passage, Jesus issues a strong warning to us, for us to search our hearts to see if we really understand, we accept the gospel as practical implication in our lives. You know, Jesus points to the passage is that a stubborn, persistent refusal to forgive others is evidence of a blinded and hardened heart, which lacks a real understanding of faith in God's forgiveness in Christ. Again, in Luke 6, verse 37, the Lord said, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." You know, in our baptism, God graciously adopted us as his children. Through the gospel, God brings us repentance by speaking words of pure and boundless love for our deepest guilt and shame. The Apostle Paul gives us in a slightly different framework in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. You know, bitterness is probably the most destructive of all sins. It can best be defined as unfulfilled revenge. It destroys people, it destroys families, and it destroys relationships. And bitterness is an attitude that refuses to forgive offenses. You know, it's like a cancer that grows and grows until it destroys everything around it. The opposite of bitterness is forgiveness. While bitterness holds on to offense, forgiveness brings release. Forgiveness allows God to start a whole healing process. It breaks out a cycle of hurting people and hurting others. In Mark 11, verse 26, it reads, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." You know, forgiveness is not a choice. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. God never said, "Feel them, forgive them if you feel them." It's a decision that you have to make in your heart and mind to release others from their sin against you. Forgiveness means that we let go of our anger and desire for revenge. When you forgive, God knows it, you know it, and that's all that matters. It doesn't make any difference if the other person ever knows it. When we learn to forgive as God wants us to, it allows us to go on and to move on. It's a conscious decision not to live in the past. It doesn't deny the pain we feel, nor does it change the past any way to go. It requires a soft heart and courage. A soft heart that we accept the Holy Spirit in allowing us to do what we're going to do, and courage to let go of the past. Essential. In Colossians 3, chapter 13, the Apostle Paul writes, "Bear with each other to forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." God gave his only one begotten Son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God has forgiven the sins of everyone. God doesn't count the sins against mankind. Why should we? No, rejoice, we can stop. Even the score, just as the screen said. It's not our grace or our forgiveness that we give to those who have sinned against us. We have no power of ourselves to forgive or to pay someone's debts. We forgive them because Christ died for our sins, even the ones committed against us. God doesn't forgive us because we earned it or we deserved it. God doesn't attach strings or conditions with his forgiveness. God simply says to each of us, "I forgive you." Was Jesus counted as sinned by so many committed against him? All the excuses that get in the way of our forgiveness have absolutely no validity when we accept what Jesus did for us in the message of Good Friday in Easter. Take a moment to think about it. Jesus was condemned to death by evil men who plotted to murder him. Lying witnesses were produced to convict him. The mob assembled to cheer on the suffering on the cross. The mob laughed and they mocked him. They were happy to see him suffering. They were pleased with himself. I like it. He washed his hands of the whole prayer. Jewish leaders hated Jesus with fierce and irrational hatred. And you know, worst of all, nobody admitted they were wrong for what they had done. But Jesus, the Son of God, who knew no sin, and the only truly innocent man who ever walked this sin-cursed planet, in his dying ones uttered words that still ring across the centuries. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And the most full words sweep away all our shabby excuses. In the glory of Easter morning, we share the victory of his resurrection and the gift of new life, each and every day of our life. There is no sin beyond forgiveness. If there is no sin to hang on to, but repentance. We have the gift of new life, but on God's terms, not ours. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we can follow our risen Savior in his triumphs with peace and confidence. Now, I bring you a personal illustration that happened several years ago. My sister's son and his girlfriend were brutally murdered, execution style, because of a drug dealer in the past. The suspect was apprehended and faced trial on 2 counts of first-degree murder. My sister attended every court hearing and gave the victim statement to the court upon the victim or the suspect sentencing the death. She faced the killer and forgave him for what he had done. In request of the court, that his sentence be life imprisonment without parole in lieu of death by electrocution. Her act of forgiveness, her act of letting go, was a tremendous statement of her faith. Her courage to reach out to that suspect and court came from the strength of Scripture. Now, I confronted my sister following that hearing as to why she did what she did. And she said, as in Romans 12:19, which reads, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave them to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." You know, we close this morning's message with a passage from Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12, 12 to 14. I will take it from the New Testament. It reads, "So chosen by God for this new life of love, rest in the Lord of God, compassion, kindness, humility, high strength and discipline, and even temper, contempt for certain players. Look to forgive the offense. Forgive us quickly and completely for the matter you may do, and regardless of what else you do, wear love, which you have been facing all over this garment, never leave." Please join me in the Father, go now where my words cannot go, even in the hearts of those who hear these words. Grant we may discover the freedom that comes from being great forgivers. Break the chain of remembering hurts that binds to the past. Help us to forgive others just as you have been merciful towards us. Lord, we want to do it, but we lack the courage. Send your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to do it. We pray this in the Holy Name.
Amen. Amen.